Hey, Dan Sheridan here, telling America's story. This is lesson number 59 in our series. And in this lesson, we're going to talk about the colonists' love of learning and the founding of American educational institutions. This is a very important lesson, so let's pay attention. In our last lesson, we spoke about Virginia and their struggles for liberty, which led to a bloody battle between Nathaniel Bacon and Governor Berkeley. And of course, as we learned, it didn't end too well for the Patriots. But even though the colonists suffered from the actions of Berkeley and Charles II, it wasn't all bad for them. You see, governors came and went over time, and these governors struggled for power with the House of Burgesses, and kings sought to extort money from the people and violate their liberties. It was a common struggle, but even with these troubles, there was steady progress, growth, prosperity, and happiness in the colony of Virginia. Now, I know in our last lesson, I said that we were leaving Virginia for the time being and heading north to New England to talk about the history of those colonies. However, before I do that, I want to tie these colonies together. I want to tie Virginia with New England by a very important principle, a very important tie, and that is educational institutions. Now, we learned a few lessons ago that Governor Berkeley didn't want schools or printing presses in his realm. Remember that? We talked about that in detail. And this is why when we study American history, we often find kind of a warped view sometimes. I don't like to use the word warped, maybe a skewed view, because New England had a head start on Virginia when it comes to writing American history. You see, the people in New England had printing presses and learning institutions way before Virginia did. And I want to tell that story here. So let's talk about it. Colonial Americans were passionate about learning. Even though they were poor, the people of Massachusetts Bay saw to it that their children didn't grow up in ignorance. They were bent on promoting and perpetuating learning and heritage. The Boston Latin School was started in 1635, and the age of the kids in the grammar school back then was about the same as it is now. But that's about where the similarities end. See, back then, the children already learned to read and write at home before they entered school. They entered grammar schools to learn Latin, and the older students studied Greek. Grammar school was basically preparation for college. In 1636, the General Court voted a large sum of money to found a college at Cambridge in order, as they said, that the light of learning might not go out, nor the study of God's Word perish. Well, 2 years later, the Reverend John Harvard, who came from England in 1637, died, leaving to the college his library and a sum of money. Thereafter, the institution bore his name, Harvard College. Harvard curriculum included logic, rhetoric, ethics, Greek, Hebrew, and metaphysics. Education's goal was the perpetuation of the classics as well as biblical studies. In 1647, a New England general court decreed that in every township having 50 families or more, they must raise taxes to maintain public schools dedicated to teaching, reading, and writing. Every township having 100 families or more must keep a school teaching grammar. The lessons were mainly confined to the catechism and the spelling book. Usually a young minister was the teacher at that time. Have you ever heard of John Eliot? Well, there was an effort to educate the Indians, and John Eliot, a learned and enthusiastic missionary, devoted his whole life to instructing Indians in the Christian religion. Amid many dangers and hardships, wrote one historian, this noble man and his assistants made numerous converts among the Indians of Massachusetts and neighboring regions. So this was the education movement in the north of the colonies in New England. But down south, where Governor Berkeley was the governor of Virginia, when he heard about this educational activity up north, he said, "I thank God there are no free schools nor printing in Virginia, and I hope we shall not have these 100 years. That was Berkeley. Berkeley didn't believe in popular government or education among the common people because he said, too much education breeds rebellious spirits. He knew ignorance would keep the masses in check. So he was against what was going on in New England, and he would have none of it in Virginia. However, His views didn't hold out for long. Progress was made in Virginia on this day, February 8th, 1693, with the founding of the College of William and Mary at Williamsburg. This became the second college in the United States, and it would become a famous school because within its walls were trained some of the revolutionary leaders who would also stand up against British tyranny and free the colonies of English rule. Take that, Governor Berkeley. Well, other colleges were also established, such as Yale in 1701, the College of New Jersey, which later became Princeton in 1746, Franklin's Academy, which later became the University of Pennsylvania in 1751, King's College, later Columbia, in 1754, Rhode Island College, later Brown, in 1764, Queens College, which later became Rutgers in 1766, and Dartmouth in 1769. So, something must be made abundantly clear. The colonists did not view education the way we do today. They never confused schooling with education. Their goal was to instruct their children so as to perpetuate classical and biblical learning so as to make them better family men and better citizens. Education was a family and local matter. It was close to the home and thus close to the heart. All right, that's all I have time for. What an important lesson this was. And next time, we're going to begin with the New England colonies and their history. That will be in our next lesson. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. I really hope you learned something. Until we meet again, remember this. Be good to one another, because we're in this together.